Hello, this is Rabbi Rob Dobberson, and welcome to this edition of Wrestling and Dreaming. This is the third of three episodes of the podcast, which are focusing on the tradition of Birkot Nehenin, the blessings we say traditionally when we experience something in the world. It could be an everyday experience, such as eating a piece of bread, or it could be an extraordinary experience, something that even comes once in a lifetime. And these blessings are so beautiful and so meaningful. In the first of the three editions of this series, I spoke about the Shehecheyanu, that blessing we say upon milestone events that take place over the course of a year or over our lives in general. Second, last week, I spoke about different Birkot Nehenin, some of the blessings that have to do with things we eat or things we smell or experiences we have in the world. And today is the culmination of this series, and I want to share with you the entire reason why I chose to address the tradition of Birkot Nehenin at this time. One of the blessings that I spoke about last week is Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Oseh Ma'aseh Bereishit. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who performs acts of creation. And according to the Mishnah, this blessing is to be said on several different occasions, some of which having to do with astronomical phenomena. A comet, a shooting star, lightning, something which appears as lights in the sky that draw our attention to the marvelous majesty of the universe. Why this blessing on these occasions? Well, I can give you two different reasons. One is because the idea of light reminds us of the legendary story of creation as described in the book of Genesis, this wonderfully meaningful and inspirational story about how and why the world was created, and in fact begins, of course, with the creation of light. But the other reason is that when we look to the heavens, it reminds us of the grandeur of creation. And as a scientist will tell us now, it reminds us also that the universe is still in the process of being created. To use the scientific theory for the moment, or conception of the creation of the universe, the ramifications of the Big Bang are still being felt as stars go through different steps in the process of their development. Galaxies continue to move, and everything in space continues to expand. This is similar to what we think about in our tradition when we say that God performs the act of creation, not performed, but performs. Because each day, according to our tradition, the world is being recreated with sunrise, with sunset, with the changing of the seasons. And this idea of looking up into the heavens is another way of looking at the continuing creation as we see the world, the universe, is still in essence in the process of being created. So it's a lovely blessing. But it's interesting that the rabbis in the Talmud specifically mentioned one event where a blessing should not be said. Not only not this blessing of Oseh Ma'aseh Bereishit, which we might be tempted to say, but no blessing should be said for this astronomical event. And the astronomical event that they said one shouldn't say a blessing for is a solar eclipse. The idea at the time of the Talmud was that the eclipse was in essence a omen of doom, a warning at the very least of the sins people had committed and God's anger at people for committing certain sins. And so, rather than say a blessing, the rabbis encouraged people to do tshuva, to repent. And later rabbis said this is an ideal time to go into the house or into the yeshiva and study Torah rather than standing and trying to experience this solar eclipse. Now, why they felt this way, Perhaps they looked at the eclipse as reminding people of the ninth plague, the plague of darkness, and the threat that it represented to the Egyptians on account of their sins. Perhaps they just looked at it as an opportunity to encourage people to do tshuva, to repent, which is something that always could be called for, and to study Torah, which is always to be called for. Perhaps they felt that standing in awe at astronomical phenomena might get in the way of what's really important, namely studying Torah. Whichever it was, this tradition of not saying a bracha, not saying a blessing for a solar eclipse, and in fact not really engaging in it in any way, really remained an idea for traditional Jews even after scientists were able to explain why an eclipse happens and in fact predict when it would happen. And so, in many circles, a blessing is not said for a solar eclipse. Well, I think by now you probably have figured out why I taught about Birkot Nehanin at this time. And that's because a month from today, as I'm recording this, in fact, on April 8th, we are in fact going to be treated to, weather permitting, and depending, of course, on where you are, the extraordinary sight, the extraordinary experience of a total solar eclipse. I live in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We are anticipating, or not only anticipating, going to have, again, weather permitting, 98.5% totality. But that's not enough for me. And I am planning to travel south, as I know a lot of people are in our community, travel south to north central Ohio for 100% totality, because the difference between 98.5% and 100% totality is like the difference of night and day, pardon the pun, or so I'm told from people who have experienced a total solar eclipse. It is truly an event that I have had on my calendar circled for years now. As I've spoken about here in this podcast before, I consider myself a very much armchair astronomer. I don't know many things about the specific constellations and stars. I still use an app on my phone to know what I'm looking at, and you know, pointing it up to the sky and identifying the different stars. But I am absolutely astounded by astronomical phenomena, by the meteor showers that I've chased and tried to stay outside and wait for late into the night, the transit of planets across the sun, which I've had the privilege of seeing through a telescope, which is an astounding sight to see a black dot moving across the face of the sun. I remember several years ago when Mars was its closest point to the Earth that it had been in however many hundreds of years, and again going to an observatory to see it. And I remember, in fact, my experience in college when I took a class in astronomy, a class which I had great problems with because of the math and physics involved, but the highlight of that class was going to the observatory and looking into the telescope and seeing Saturn with its rings, and it was just absolutely astounding to me. So I can't wait. I can't wait to see the solar eclipse, and I know it's all weather dependent, and weather around here at this time of year is very iffy, but I just hope and hope that there will be a clear day and we'll be able to experience this. We plan to go to a gathering about an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and a half south of here, where there are going to be astronomers, there's going to be explanations, and we have our eclipse glasses, and we're ready for what I hope will be a once-in-a-lifetime, soon will be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And as the shadow of the moon moves across the sun and reaches complete totality, the astronomers tell us it's then you can take off your eclipse glasses and look at the corona, the light that we don't usually see, the halo, so to speak, around the sun, which you now can see because the rest of the sun is being blacked out by the shadow, and that astounding sight. And then as the eclipse begins to end, as the moon's shadow starts to move, I'm told you see, and I've seen pictures of it, this shaft of sunlight start to come out. And it's at that point that, with all apologies to all the rabbis in the past who say, don't say a blessing, I intend to say a blessing of Oseh Maaseh Bereishit, blessed be God who performs the acts of creation, because that light will remind us again of the story of the Torah and the beginning of the universe. I'm fascinated by astronomy. I'm fascinated by the way in which the different the planets and stars follow their courses in the sky, and how, with the wisdom that God has given us, particularly scientists who know much more than I do about this, the ability to explain, to predict exactly when an eclipse will happen. That's a combination of the wisdom that has been given to human beings, that wisdom that they have gained, and also the predictability of the cycles that God has created. Because, as I've said often in this podcast, I believe completely in the idea of God as creator, but believe that God created the world through the means that we identify as scientific means. Because as I've studied and as I've learned and as I've explained again previously in this podcast, the relationships, the mathematical relationships between certain aspects that we attribute to creation during the Big Bang, etc., are so precise that even an infinitesimal movement one way or the other would have resulted in a universe completely different than the one we have, or maybe no universe at all. It's astounding to me. And it is cause for a blessing. A blessing to acknowledge the wonder of the world that we live in, the grandeur and of the expanses of the universe, and our ability as the creatures who are so small in relation to the rest of the universe, our ability to predict them, to anticipate them, and to find great meaning in them. I hope if you're close enough to a place of totality, this time or sometime, you'll have the experience of seeing a solar eclipse. I hope that on April 8th, wherever I will be or wherever I can find myself, will be clear enough to see this phenomena. I just can't wait. What an occasion will be, and what an opportunity to say a bracha that brings great meaning to the wonders of the universe around us. Until next time, thank you.